Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 80. We've got work to do. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 80, being recorded on April 20th, 2018. You think that's so funny? Brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray, and there are a couple of things I want to talk about. Number one, I don't normally get upset. It's bad for my health, but I'm pretty exasperated by this. Normally, I would tell you as part of my deal that if you want to listen to my podcast, one of the options is to subscribe on iTunes, but unfortunately, something is wrong with iTunes, and here's the situation. If you're willing to help me, that'd be great. Y'all know I took a year off this podcast due to personal health reasons, so now I'm back, and it's my fourth show in 2 weeks. The show has kept going on Stitcher, just fine, as well as the Apple Podcast app on iPhone, but my podcast has completely disappeared from iTunes. You can't search for it. It's not there. That's fair. I've been away for a year, so I'll go ahead and resubmit. And I can't for some reason. They sent me an email saying there's some error. It won't tell me what it is. And it told me that the feed was ready for submission to iTunes, but they won't accept it for some reason. I don't get it. Tell me what's up. Apple, let me know the problem here because, dude, iTunes is like one of my biggest things. Like, if they want to listen to my podcast, they subscribe on iTunes, and, well, they can't right now. Please fix this by the time this episode comes out. I already sent Apple an email letting you know what's wrong, so fix this thing, please. Number two, I have podcasted for nearly a decade, so before the rebrand, the podcast was 100% NBA. But since the rebrand, I've talked about other things like other sports, wrestling, anime, video games, dating even, life in general. So, it was a more diverse podcast, but it's not diverse enough. I don't think so. Because I had to do a better job of talking about women's sports. I like sports in general, men or women, but I haven't really talked about women's sports too much on this podcast. I mentioned women's tennis for a fleeting moment, so shout out to Serena Williams, Angelique Kerber, Martina Hingis, Monica Seles, Steffi Graf, Gabriella Sabatini. Like, I know some women's sports, and I do watch the WNBA, but I cannot say that I've religiously watched it. I know something about it, but I know their existence from the start, but I never talked about it here. So, starting in this episode, I will talk about it. The NBA season will be done in 2 months, but that doesn't mean that I should stop talking about basketball when the summer is here. So, that's when I'll give the WNBA some shine. Will I write about it? I can honestly say it'd be difficult for me because I already feel worn down writing about the NBA as is. But I will be louder about my support of the WNBA. I think they deserve it. And I think basketball fanatics are missing out because, after all, basketball is basketball, whether it's men, women, dogs, or Looney Tunes playing, right? So, for this episode, I talked to Jasmine Brown of Fansided's High Post Hoops and Through the Pen Sports. High Post Hoops is Fansided's hub for women's basketball, so I suggest you guys go there for hoops played by these amazing ladies. Anyway, before we go to this talk, let me remind you again that you can download this podcast on Stitcher and the home site rayray.net/fun, and you can subscribe to this podcast on Android, but apparently not on iTunes because they're broken. Alright, promo, then we start the chat.
This is Ty Windish of the Time Out with Ty podcast, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, live. Not really.
Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 80. My guest. She writes at Fansided's hub for women basketball called High Post Hoops. She also has a site called Through the Pen Sports. And today, she's going to teach me some things about the WNBA because I want to be better at following it, and I don't want to mess this up. So, Jasmine Brown, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How about you?
I'm good. Watching the Pacers and Cavs, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so I just realized also that you have a lot more tweets than I do, and I've been on Twitter for nearly 10 years. How did I not know you before?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I'm just starting. My following has just started to go up, so still, it'll take some time to make its rounds, I guess.
Yeah, so before we get to talking about the WNBA, please tell me you saw that clip of Jeopardy from last night.
I actually saw the clip a little bit. I saw them, I guess, imitating basketball moves.
What do you think about that? Because I just felt, I don't know, secondhand embarrassment, you know?
It looked a little cringy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a little awkward. I hope they never look it.
Right. I don't know what they're thinking there, right? So, Jasmine, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started in this whole basketball writing thing?
Okay, I'm a 24-year-old student at the University of Maryland. I'm studying history and sports journalism. Mm-hmm. I actually started off being a mechanical engineer. It's kind of way left field.
Right.
But one day I just decided that I wanted to cover sports. I called my mom and I said, "Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to cover sports." And she was like, "What? What? You're doing so well. What? Why? Like, what happened?" I was just like, "You know what? I've liked sports all my life, but I just never touched on it. I never really thought, oh, I want to do something with sports. It was just kind of like something that I like to do. I started covering, I started collecting baseball cards and football cards, and I was like 9, and then first football game I watched was the Patriots Super Bowl in 2004. And, you know, after that, it's kind of, oh, you know what? I like to talk with the guys. So I just started studying that. And in high school, I started debating. That's how I pretty much started to understand the game, debating. Mm-hmm. So I started studying games so I know what to say in debates. And I studied it to the point where I kind of got respect. And that's when I started tweeting on Twitter, various sports. But my first love was football because that was the first thing I watched with the Patriots. Of course, I'm not a Patriots fan, but that was the first game that I watched. I said, I want to watch football after that. Grew up in a Cowboys household, but still am.
I'm a Niners fan.
Probably a bummer there.
I'm a Niners fan. So way back in the 90s, that was a rivalry. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I always loved football. But then one day I just started to watch a lot of college basketball, and then I started watching a lot of NBA. But WNBA, I wasn't watching it then. A little embarrassed because I would say, oh, yeah, I like the WNBA because, you know, of course, you know how men are with the kitchen line. And, you know, I didn't really want to come out and say that, but I like the WNBA. But you know, after a while, I loved watching it, and I loved watching, you know, women's college basketball, and and it led to me covering the Washington Mystics and the New York Liberty under my sight through the pen.
Cool. Who was your favorite athlete growing up?
My favorite athlete growing up was, I would have to say Shaq. Because I was like, I don't know, that was kind of my nickname growing up. I was tall, but I really wasn't that tall. I'm 5'9", but...
You're taller than I am. I'm 5'7", so it's like...
Okay.
Yeah. Everyone's Shaq to me.
Huh?
Everyone is Shaq to me, so...
Serena. Serena Williams was definitely another one of mine.
Dominance. Serena's just dominant. Like,
oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. She doesn't seem to have signs of slowing down either.
I keep showing my age here, but like I've seen Serena play since she was like a teen.
She had the braids with the beads.
Yeah, like the sisters, her and Venus. Yeah. Like they've always been so dominant. They've been so dominant for a long time. And obviously, I saw the '92 draft with Shaq. See, that's how old I am. I remember.
I was born 2 years later.
Wow.
Sorry, you added.
Yeah, it's cool. So who do you watch now? Obviously, Serena's still around. Shaq's obviously retired. So who do you like watching now?
I honestly just like to watch anybody that's up and coming. I like to watch the newer generation, of course. I mean, I'm only 24, but it does seem like the people that I grew up watching is fading.
Right.
It's kind of funny because I'm like only 24, but I can kind of go back in time and say, oh, yeah, I remember watching them growing up, and now they're fading, and now we're really, you know, heading into a new generation of athletes. So, you know, I really like to watch just anyone who is I guess a newer generation. I mean, they're younger than me. The question do the, I guess where some systems are one and done systems, and in football, some people are forgoing their senior year, so they're going into, you know, the pros a lot younger than I am, which is like, wow, they're 21 and making way more than I am, or 18.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, because, like, Jordan retired for the second time, I was 24, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was here in D.C.
So. Yeah, exactly. And Kobe Bryant and I are born in the same year. So when he retired, I So.
Yeah. His last game was legendary, though.
Yeah, definitely was. We were all on Twitter for that, so.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the WNBA. Is it fair to compare the Lynx and the Sparks to the NBA's Warriors and Cavs? The Lynx have been to the WNBA Finals 4 out of 7 years. Sparks had and Lynx had a repeat WNBA Finals. They show no signs of slowing down. Is that fair?
I wouldn't say it's fair because when it comes to men, mm-hmm. I feel like media fans, people, they can talk about it on its own. But when it comes to the WNBA, it feels like they're always having to compare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why can't you just talk about, you know, the Lynx and Sparks on their own?
Right.
Just say that, you know, the dominance that they've had in their own league. And of course, the WNBA is a byproduct of the NBA.
Yes.
And it is great to talk about, you know, the comparison with the Cavs and Warriors. But, you know, I would like to just hear them talk about it separately. And of course, maybe ratings, listeners, I don't know. Maybe that's why they do it. But, I mean, I do like the fact that, you know, they have something to compare it to. Maybe they dominate again this year. You know, who knows? And then they'll say, you know, this reminds me of, you know, Cavs Warriors. I don't know, dominance in the league, but I would like for them to talk about it separately, just on their own, just talk about, you know, the players involved and, you know, how that'll help its own league instead of comparing to the NBA.
Okay, how about this? Can we compare them to the Comets' dominance?
Yeah, that's a lot better. I would say that because the Houston Comets are not here anymore.
Right.
So, you know, if you talk about, let's just do present to past with the WNBA, because the teams that are in the NBA, they're still here. Mm-hmm. There are a few of them that are not anymore. I think it's maybe about 3 of them. And then the Dallas Wings, they didn't start in Dallas.
Yeah.
And then now, they think they're acquired now in Las Vegas. So there has been a lot of moving around the team. Like, I think the Miami Soul, and then Houston Comets, and they're not here anymore. So, you know, I would like to see that happen. That'd be a lot better. And then I would also, in a sense, be a little bit of a history lesson, and then give, you know, people, you know, a sense of what the WNBA was like back then, because it was very dominant. It was a lot of fun.
Right. Speaking of dominance, is it bad for the league? I know we asked about every league, basically. But, I mean, I mentioned the Sparks Lynx. They have a lot of big-time players in both teams. The Lynx have Sylvia Fowles, Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, Lindsay Whalen. The Sparks have Candace Parker, Ogumike, Odyssey Sims, Chelsea Gray. Like, that's a lot of players in two teams. That's pretty loaded, right? Is it bad?
Yeah, it is. It's kind of funny. It's been a little bit ironic here, because I say, you know what? I don't want to see the Cavs and Warriors again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the finals. But then it's like, I don't want to see the Lynx and Sparks again. I want to see another team. But I don't think it's bad. And the reason why is this, and I'll pull it from a college basketball perspective.
Yeah.
UConn.
Mm-hmm.
They go. Everybody knows. When you say, when people think of women's basketball, they think of UConn.
Yeah.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they didn't go. Last year, they didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I was looking at these games and just looking at, you know, how they lost back to back. Well, basically similar shots. Of course, last year, Morgan Williams, and then her name is slipping my mind, from Notre Dame.
Arike?
Huh?
Arike?
Yeah, Arike. There you go. Yeah, Arike. And that just shows me that even though UConn was dominant, they were basically sending that message to other colleges that they need to get better. And right. I think UConn's dominance helped other teams get better. So they have a blueprint for how to beat UConn. And UConn has not been a champion in 2 years, going on 2 years this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that can be the same way for the WNBA. Their dominance might not last long, but I feel like, you know, especially if you look at this WNBA draft, they're drafting to the level of the Lynx and Sparks, which will make teams around that league get better. You have, you know, if you have two teams that are constantly going, the front offices are going to get tired, and they're really going to push to try to draft those players yeah. that can set, you know, get up to that level of them. So in a sense, they're setting the standard. And I feel like the WNBA is different from the NBA. I feel like a lot of people are different, are the same in the NBA. But when it comes to WNBA, there are some very unique players that are really good assets to these teams. And this class right here for the WNBA is a turning point, I feel, for that league. And no, you know, no offense to the recent players that got drafted.
Right.
But you look at this, you know, Final Four and Finals. I mean, it was very exciting.
Yeah.
It never happened, you know, never happened in history where both games go to overtime.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like they set the standard for how a team should look, and in the end, it'll be a better look for the league, and which might get people's attention because the percentages have gone rose a lot higher in recent memory.
So let's go to the NBA draft really quick. And again, I'm not going to say that I'm some expert when it comes to women's college basketball, but is this the best draft in recent memory?
I would definitely, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that people definitely know these names a lot better than recent. I mean, of course, you have Brittany Griner come out when she came in her class, and Skylar Diggins.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like with this class, you have Kelsey Mitchell. She, you know, broke records. Asia Wilson. You know, Gabby Williams, Azura Stevens, you know, Lexi Brown, a lot of these names, they've been pretty dominant. So, I think definitely as a class, they will look really, really good. They're a little bit of steals. But when you look at that first round, they look really good. And the fact that the Las Vegas Aces, I think they're going to be a surprise. I made a mistake earlier. That's the Dallas Wings. From that team that acquired Las Vegas, it was the
Stars. Yeah,
the Stars. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be a lot of fun to look forward to this upcoming season. Looking at that, and Bill Laimbeer being the head coach for that team, it's going to be a lot of fun, especially with Asia Wilson, because he's just a whole character within herself. so yeah, that should be a lot of fun. This draft is a lot of fun. See the producing report.
Is there something where it's like, if your name is Kelsey, you're an automatic, like, fantastic scorer in women's basketball?
Right? Kelsey Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly.
The only difference is Kelsey went number two. But, yeah, maybe. Maybe child Kelsey if you want to have him dominate.
Right. So, we know about the Lynx and the Sparks, but anyone we should watch out for, obviously, you covered the Mystics of Elena Del Don and Christy Tolliver. The Mercury have Diana Taurasi, Brittany Griner, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Breonna Stewart, Tina Charles, Kelsey Plum. Anyone we should watch out for?
I will definitely say look out for the Indiana Fever. They were a little bit up and down last year, but they have Kelsey Mitchell, and they also have Victoria Vivens. And Pokey Chapman, she's going to have a lot of fun with this, head coach for the Fever. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this team. But I think they're going to do a pretty good job. I'll say look at the Connecticut Sun. I mean, they went to the postseason. But They have Lexi Brown. And then they also have Jonquil Jones and other key players there as well. So I would definitely say look at those two teams for the moment. And then the Las Vegas Aces as well. So those three will be my top.
This is Shea Serrano, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. I think Ray Ray should change the name of the podcast, but he likes it, so that's what you're listening to.
Hey, shout out to Sharon Brown. We love you. The WNBA is 20 years old now, over 20 years old now. What do you think it would take for the WNBA to get to the next level, even though we've had great players come in like Candace Parker and Maya Moore and Brittany Griner? What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely acceptance. The whole, you know, kitchen, that just has to go.
Yeah.
And it is some people being dumb, because if you have a man has a daughter,
yeah,
and they've been making these comments on Twitter or social media, and their daughter wants to play, will their moods change? Will they say that their daughter will to the kid? They're not going to say that about the daughter. They're going to support their daughter,
right?
And you know, I make a joke about that. I said, I hope the guys, you know, that make these jokes, I hope their daughter goes to, you know, want to play college. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure they're not going to have that type of attitude towards it. And if somebody says something about their daughter, they're going to come to their defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that has to go. But also, I feel like looking at the – I'm pro NCAA in a sense. I mean, when it comes to the women, they mostly stay off for years. So it's kind of a rare one and done situation there.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say people watch them, you know, mature all 4 years in college, then they'll know, you know, when the draft comes around, they'll know who to look out for. And also, you know, just paying more attention to it. Maybe if the NBA will take more of a part into it as well.
Yeah.
They had a start last year of mentioning, you know, some of the NBA players naming their favorite athletes, you know, WNBA athletes. But again, you know, men kind of backlash that and say, oh, they're paid to do this. But it's like athletes have been, you know, NBA athletes, they have been going to, you know, games. I know Dwayne Wade was there. Kobe is a big proponent of the WNBA. So it's like your favorite players are actually really supporting, you know. Yeah. Of the WNBA, but they just can't look past that. I don't know. I mean, the numbers have risen. I think it was a 28% jump from 2014 or 16, if I'm not mistaken. But it's been a positive jump, and the WNBA finals has grown as well. But yeah, if people just stop, I guess, having that type of mentality towards the league and the NBA gets a little more involved, I think it'll definitely help grow a lot more. And if it's and more coverage as well. More coverage. If, you know, people would want to cover teams more and, you know, show different moments or even tell the story. Maybe mm-hmm. the story can relate to a lot of people and make them want to watch it more. So definitely coverage as well.
Do you have hope? Because we've seen, obviously, women's tennis is pretty good. Women's soccer, women's wrestling is growing. So there's
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So do you have hope for the WNBA, women's basketball in general to grow even more?
Definitely. And you know, you also have to, you know, look at it as the existence of it.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been around, you know, in the 40s and, you know, like 50s, like the NBA has. So, yeah. You know, it's taking more time to grow, but I do think that what will help it grow is definitely internet, social media. That is definitely going to give it a boost, especially with the advancement that it has, the advanced technology that we have. Just the game winning shot that Enrique did.
Yeah.
You know, that's been played over and over and over again. And you know, I was surprised that my timeline, I mean, the amount of people that watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I follow, you know, maybe over 2,000 people. And, I mean, my timeline, you scroll and you'll just see, oh, my gosh, or Notre Dame or, you know, UConn's gone. I was very surprised and shocked. And it was a lot of men that had cap locks like tweets, like Teflon tweets. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, like it, I hope that it continues next year, because the same thing happened last year, but it wasn't really as hyped up. But the fact that these, I think when she set the president finals game and then she did it again. I think that that will definitely, spark, you know, watching more of that in the future, which will help, the WNBA, grow as well.
Yeah, because, we have to be better. I have to be better. 3 years ago, even, we didn't see this kind of, hoopla over women's basketball, women's college basketball, because I follow about 2,000 people too, and I didn't see as much hype about women's basketball even a few years ago. But this year, yeah, definitely a bigger jump in terms of interest. So hopefully, it gets better from here on out. And like I said, we'll have to do better. I have to do better too.
A lot of people saying like lowering the rim. I mean, you know, I feel like the WNBA is fundamentally awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel that, yeah, it may be a little boring, you know, compare it, I guess, Spurs, like, because they're fundamental. But, you know, they play the game right, and that's all it comes down to. It's not all about dunking and, you know, shooting threes, you know, all the time. So, you know, lowering of the rim, no. I don't feel like it's going to take away from turning it into what men, they want to see men, women play like men. And no, you need to watch how they play basketball, because it's different for a reason. It's the WNBA. It's not the NBA 2.0. You know? Right. So, just leave as it is. You don't need to lower the rim. I mean, because Jonquil Jones of the Connecticut Sun, she dunked in the WNBA All-Star break. You know, she didn't need the rim lowered. Lisa Leslie, she dunked. She was the first one to dunk, you know? So, you know, some have hops, but, you know, it's not in our nature to hop or want to be like that. We're not, you know, that athletic, you know, to be doing all this crazy stuff. You know, we're athletic, but not hops athletic, you know, so.
Exactly.
Just leave it as it is, you know. But I definitely, just what happened alone didn't require a dunk to get the attention. So just skill, stuff like, you know, stuff that they possess. It's gonna grow, but I'm very excited that it's grown. I'm excited moving forward with the leagues, both WNBA and NCAA.
I guess I must be boring since you mentioned the Spurs, because I like watching them. And and here's the funny thing: like, here I am aging myself again. Back in my early 20s, I loved watching the Utah Jazz play. Because I played ball back in the day, believe it or not. And that was my go-to thing, was pick and roll with my brother and my friends. That's what we did, you know.
Right.
And I can't dunk, I'm 5'7". So I just wanted to, you know, pass the ball and, you know, get my teammates involved. That was my thing, so.
But that's the thing that works. Yeah. You know, that right there will really show who are actually good basketball player, because you could dunk, you know, lob it up, but if you don't have those fundamental skills, it's not there. And I'm gonna go off topic for a second, but I'll never
doesn't matter. I don't care.
My music teacher, he's a drummer, and he said he wanted to learn how to do all, you know, all the crazy stuff with the drums, but his teacher told him to just whack the drum, just 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. He said he didn't want to do that. He said, I want to do all that stuff, you know. Crazy drummers do, but he said no, just keep tapping the drums. And ever since then, all he had the fundamentals, it led him to do a lot more things because of those fundamentals. So, you know, same thing applies to anything. You have to learn the foundation of the game, you know, a class, whatever you're doing,
right?
You know, you can't just come out, you know, doing crazy stuff off the gate, because if you have to do something that you weren't taught or didn't or wasn't interested in, you're going to look a little bit, you know, crazy out there. So, you know, that's where I think women's basketball kind of wins, because they teach the fundamentals, because they don't have that advantage of dunking the ball all the time. So they have an advantage of learning those fundamentals, and maybe, you know, they'll teach, you know, people a couple pointers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. See, this is why you're the boss.
Oh, God, that's the boss.
Fantastic conversation. go ahead and publicize your social media, all the sites that you write at, all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Okay. So my Twitter is Jasmine_Brown. So JASMINED_Brown. My Instagram is JDanielleBrown. The fan site is High Post Hoops. And my site, and along with my YouTube channel, is Through the Pen Sports. That's THROUGH, the, and then PENSports.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter at The No Look Pass, and follow my podcast Twitter at Rary Is Fun, because you cannot fit Rary Is Fundamental on a Twitter handle. They only allow 16 characters. So Rary Is Fun. Believe me, I'm fun, guys. Seriously.
You are.
So thank you so much for doing this, and we will do this again soon. I promise.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Game over,
yeah! Hashtag blame Ray Ray.